We're talking today with Roy Lee Lindsay of the Oklahoma Poor Council. Really, there's a bunch of things going on right now that can't impact your hog producers, your pork producers here in the state and really across the country. Maybe top of mind for a lot of people is this trade issue that continues to simmer. Two of the countries that have been big players in all of this with Mr. Trump, China as well as Mexico. I know that's hurting.
Yeah, it is. When you start talking about trade, Mexico represents about 40% of all of our trade. We are seeing that while we're still moving pork through the system and into exports, the price we're being paid for it is significantly less, and consequently, the price we're receiving for our animals is significantly less. And so what was anticipated to be a pretty good year, all things considered, here in 2018, is turning out to be a really challenging year from a financial standpoint. And when we look at what's happening with trade, one of the things that we think is very positive, if you will, is we have heard from both the administration and from Mexico that, hey, we've got a handshake deal here. We've got an agreement. We're ready to move this forward. We're not done with that negotiation by any stretch of the imagination. But Mexico represents about 40% of all of our exports. So if we could get Mexico cleared up, get this NAFTA knocked out, especially if you could include Canada back in there, that would amount for a sizable portion of where we've been exporting product historically. And we keep those pork tariffs at zero like they've been since since NAFTA has been fully implemented. Right. That would be a huge win for us. When I say a win, I mean, we're talking about protecting what we've already had, but in lieu, I mean, as opposed to tariffs and the things we've been dealing with really since the first part of June, would be a tremendous move forward and a great step forward. So we're very hopeful that this really is genuinely an agreement and we're ready to move. We're ready to move these agreements forward. And if that's the case, hey, that's a big positive.
And I guess what? This is primarily the pork, the tariffs against U.S. pork because of what, steel and aluminum.
Yeah, it's the tariffs that the U.S. placed on goods coming in from Mexico, and Mexico chose to retaliate, and one of the items they retaliate on is pork. Pork ends up on almost everyone's retaliation list. We are we're the world's largest exporter of pork in terms of any single country. Our industry is dependent on exports for profitability. And so this whole notion of we're gonna hit you where it hurts, and that's kind of what the tariffs that the president put in place, that's the retaliatory tariffs do the same thing. We've got to get those resolved, and Mexico here really has been that's a huge market for us in terms of proximity, in terms of volume. You add in Canada, that's two of our top four trading partners. We really need to get NAFTA resolved, and then we can turn our attention maybe to some other places and where can we go, whether that's Japan with a new trade agreement similar to what the TPP was that we've pulled out of. Japan's gone on and executed a trade agreement similar to that with the European Union, and over the next 5 years, we're going to see the European Union getting much better pricing going into Japan than we're getting because they've negotiated a free trade deal and we haven't followed suit. Right. So administration has told us from day one they were going to try to protect farmers and ranchers, and their efforts with this aid package, this $12 billion aid package, I think certainly does help. I don't know how many producers in Oklahoma, how many farmers in Oklahoma really are going to qualify for the direct aid as it relates to a direct payment, if you will. But the purchase of pork that's going to go into food banks, that's going to go out to help folks that really need some extra help feeding their family, that's going to be a huge boon to us, I think, as we look on down the road. And that's $558 million or something like that they've announced to purchase. And that will help us take product at a time we've got lots more pork coming, at a time that we're not exporting as much as we have. It gives us a market for some of that pork, and that will be very helpful.
So I guess what are we seeing, some lower prices, obviously back to producers, but are we also seeing some higher prices, trying to split the difference on that tariff, for example, in Mexico?
Yeah, what the Mexican consumer would be paying will be an increase because there's an added tariff there. I mean, it's a tax on the goods going into Mexico. So we're having to discount the product to try to keep the price affordable for a Mexican consumer, if you will, and they're also probably paying a little higher price because of the tariffs that are in place. And so it's a double whammy. It hits us because we've got to take less money if we're going to sell it into there, and odds are they're also going to pay more to receive the product. It's not a wash in terms of, well, we'll just discount you and the consumer over here will pay the same rate. That part's not working that way.
I know some parts of agriculture are concerned that there's going to be longer term damage because of the disruption or the dependability of the U.S. as a supplier.
Well, when you've built an industry on trade, and we've grown our industry over the last several years and are in the middle of a export-related growth phase, if you will, you need – one of the ways we've been able to build that market around the world has been we've got the safest, the most consistent, the most affordable product of anybody in the world, and we can provide it to you more consistently than anybody else can. And so if you start running into these trade disputes and they disrupt that flow, then certainly it could have a negative impact long term on your ability to move product. The administration's told us they like bilateral trade agreements. They want one-on-one negotiated agreements. Mm-hmm. Great. We're for it. But we need to get started doing some of those so that we're not losing market or that we're capturing new markets and getting them expanding existing markets, whichever the case may be, so that if we do have a trade dispute somewhere, we don't lose market share. We still have the ability to export product and sell it somewhere else around the world.
You talk about a safe product. That's one of the things that I know the pork industry worries about is being able to deliver on that promise. One of the reasons that you've been a very strong advocate for this FMD bank in the 2018 Farm Bill. We're starting to see negotiations move forward, I think, over the next few days. Right after Labor Day, we will have that public meeting of the conference committee. Feel pretty good about getting quite a bit of that accomplished?
Well, I think we're optimistic. Anytime you're talking about Congress and what Congress may do, until it's actually done and the president signed it, you're always a little bit wary of what's going to happen. But the simple fact is that because we are in the pork industry in particular, but we're an export, exports mean so much to what we do every day. Mm-hmm. A foreign animal disease like FMD has the ability to completely shut down exports for an undetermined amount of time. And so we'll open those markets back up by showing that we have the disease under control, that there's not a spread, it isn't spreading all across the country. Hey, maybe you've got it isolated in this state, but another state halfway across the country doesn't have it, so we can take product out of there and sell it somewhere else. The FMD bank is one tool that we can use to help us should we ever get FMD here. That's the most likely of the foreign animal diseases to come here in terms of the major high-impact diseases. It spreads very quickly. It impacts cattle and sheep and goats and pork as well, hogs as well. And so its impact is the greatest, if you will, of what those pieces are. So an investment to give us a vaccine bank that allows us to have current vaccine, fresh vaccine. There's only a handful of companies in the world that make that vaccine. And so you need to be on their customer list. You need to be buying product from them because it's not like folks have a bunch of excess capacity in vaccine generation. They've got capacity to do what you need. So we need to be able to be on somebody's customer list, have product available so that we can spin that up very quickly as it goes. In addition to the FMD part of that ask is additional dollars for state animal health professionals, the state vets offices, for our national animal health labs, our monitoring labs, to help them gear up to help us monitor for foreign animal diseases, not just FMD, but for any foreign animal disease that might come along. We saw very clearly with PED several years ago the need to have a lab system that's up and running and ready to take on a new challenge like that. And so there's also support for state vets offices, for our national labs, and all that's is probably equally important to the bank itself. Mm-hmm. As we go through this process.
I guess what the contemporary example of that is African swine fever.
Yeah, as we look around the world, African swine fever has been moving through Eastern Europe. We know that they've had it in Russia for some time. Now we're starting to see it in China. Big concern for us because a lot of the minerals and the vitamins and the things that get added into feed come from China. And so we believe that that feeds how we got PED into this country. We know that the virus, as it relates to the African swine fever virus, is more hardy. It's a more robust virus, if you will. It'll live longer than PED would. So real concerns for us about how do we put up biosecurity, how do we put up walls, if you will, to keep that virus out of the country, and are we doing all we can, and from a Pork Council perspective and Dr. Rod Hall at the State Vet's Office, reaching out to producers in Oklahoma to say, hey, be aware. If you see something out of the ordinary, you've got something happening on your farm that just doesn't look right, call your veterinarian. Don't think, well, we can wait 3 or 4 days and see if it gets better. Let's get a veterinarian in. Let's look at it immediately. Let's know what we're dealing with, because the sooner we can get a diagnosis on it, the better we can respond to it. There's no vaccine today for African swine fever. So your response is we'd have to cull a herd, we'd have to euthanize those animals and try to stop the spread of the disease in that fashion. So we're far better off if we can keep it out of the United States, and today we don't have it, right, and we certainly don't want it. But it is a constant reminder of the importance of why we don't allow visitors into farms all the time, why we shower into farms, why we shower out, why we restrict movements between farms, why if I were to go travel overseas and come back to go visit a producer, they're not going to want to see me for a number of days after I get back, especially if I've been out visiting hog farms in another country or whatever. They're going to want me to be down for a week, maybe even longer, before I even come sit in their office, just for the way to help protect their herd health.
I guess what the one thing to remind consumers is that we're not talking about, in this case, a disease that can any way hurt them.
Yeah, and the same thing's true with foot and mouth disease, African swine fever. In African swine fever, it's a disease that only affects swine. It has no impact on food safety, no impact on meat quality, none of that. It's just a disease that impacts the animal. And so, again, while it wouldn't have any, there's no, pork is perfectly safe to eat, we still just don't want to do that because we care about what's happening to our animals.
Right.